Let us now turn for our instruction. We turn for our instruction to the book of 1 Samuel and the chapter 25. The book of 1 Samuel and the 25th chapter. This is God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. Lord, help us to receive his word this day. Lord, grant his Holy Spirit to receive his word aright and to apply it to our own needful souls here this day. Let us hear God's holy word. Let us come before the Lord together now and hear his word. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them. All the while they were in Carmel. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes. For we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them. When we were in the fields, they were a wall unto us both by night and day. All the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master, and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good, so and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, "Upon me, my lord, upon me let this iniquity, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord, I pray thee. Forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my lord, then remember thine handmaid." And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hastened to come to meet me, surely there had been not left unto Nabal by morning light any that pisseth against the wall." So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person." And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. When it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, "David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife." And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth, and said, "Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of thy servants of my lord." And Abigail hasted and arose, and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers, and went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. And David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also, both of them, his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his most precious, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, all to the glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls here today. Let us seek the Lord in much needed prayer. Well, dear friends, I ask you now, congregation, to turn your prayerful attention to the words that I read to you in your hearing there in the book of 1 Samuel in the chapter 25. We arrive in our week-by-week studies of God's Word in this chapter, and there is much to learn, much to glean from in this chapter. Now, we recall in the previous chapter, and as we have seen, the people of Israel, they really are being forced to conclude about this man Saul, King Saul. King Saul was a wicked king. God is sickening the people through the vileness, the evilness of Saul, an ungodly man, their choice of a king. That's who Saul was. Remember in chapter 8, God said what kind of a king he would be. Not a man after God's own heart. We think of those words, don't we, in Hosea chapter 13, verse 11, where the Lord says, I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. And so the Lord is sickening the people through their foolish choice of a king. And thus they will appreciate and honor David. Of course, David is no perfect man, as we have even seen in this chapter, but there are many things that we can glean from the life of David. Many aspects of David are typical of Christ. But again, remember, David was a sinner. And so in those things, he was not a type of Christ. But in many things, he is a type of Christ. Now, by and large, many people still held on to Saul and despised the man after God's own heart. How true is that today of the world? Men want rulers, the big movers and shakers, but not men after God's own heart. And most assuredly, the Lord Jesus Christ, they will despise. They will consider the Lord Jesus Christ to be insignificant. Who is this man that we should obey him? Who is Christ that we should follow him? And so by and large, the people did hold on to Saul and despise David, as we will see this morning, particularly in this life here now of Nabal, a foolish man, a very foolish man. Well, the world may say he was no fool because he was wealthy, because he had great riches. But you know, the scriptures, when the scriptures speak of a fool, it does not have to do anything with a man's intellect, a man's IQ, a man's ability, but in terms of whether he fears God. The fool has said in his heart, not his head, there is no God. And many rich and wealthy people are fools, like this man Nabal. It's not to despise riches. Abraham was a very wealthy man, but he was no fool. He was a God-fearing man. I want to think this morning about this man Nabal. But before we come to Nabal, I want us to first think about Samuel, because the opening verses deal with Samuel. Remember, Samuel was indeed a judge in Israel for many years, and he has since relinquished that judgeship and given power and authority, indeed God has, to King Saul. But remember Samuel, as a young boy, he was raised in the temple, brought by his mother Hannah, and it was during the days of Eli. God said that he would judge, indeed, the house of Eli, and he has done so now in great measure. But Samuel, We think about this man. Samuel was also a prophet, wasn't he? Not only was he a judge, but he was also a priest. You notice in the first verse of this chapter, he dies now, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And then we read, and David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. So here, first of all, Samuel lamented in death, but though not, we could say, longed for or even listened to in life. How few of the people listened to Samuel while he lived. Remember back in chapter 8 what the Lord said, because the people had rejected Samuel on account of his sons. Remember, his sons were corrupt, but Samuel was not corrupt himself. 1 Samuel chapter 8, the verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. Well, they wanted a king, didn't they? In all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. All the while it was the Lord that they were rejecting. Samuel was a God-fearing man. And Samuel, being wise, let the people have what they wanted. Unlike Saul. Saul is clinging on to power now, isn't he? The Lord has already said to King Saul, the kingdom has been rent from you. But he's doing all that he can to hold on to it. And so sinners do in this world. Many may profess, like Saul, to be the Lord's people. But they will hold on to their life. They will hold on to the things that are dear to them. And they will not serve the King of Kings. They will not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just beware. There are many. Saul was a man who professed faith. But Saul was an unregenerate man. Samuel was a man that was big enough and strong enough to let go. And the Christian does. Whosoever loses his life, said the Lord Jesus Christ, for my sake, will keep it, will find it. But the man who will hold on to his life will lose it. If we are the Lord's, we will serve him and we will trust him in this life. And you know, whatever we put in the Lord's possession, firstly, is always from him anyway. And when we put it into his hands, it's always better off, isn't it? Whatever it is, whether it's our money, whether it's our home, whether it's our children, these things are the Lord's. And the Lord can take these things away at any time. So Samuel here, first of all, lamented in death, but not listened to in life, and not longed for in life. And that's often the case. You know, sometimes the Lord takes good men early, that the good men are appreciated in this life. You think of a young man by the name of Robert Murray McShane, young Scottish man taken very early. Many people admire him, but many don't follow in his footsteps. You know, it's one thing to admire a man, but it's another thing to acquire the graces and gifts that God has bestowed upon that man. Seek those things, friends. Don't seek to simply admire people, but rather walk in their footsteps. Walk in the footsteps of the godly. You are your brother's keeper. If you say you're a Christian, you are your brother's keeper. And it would be foolish to cause any to stumble, let alone your own children. Be better that we never would have been born than to cause others to stumble. God help us. Samuel, not longed for in life, not listened to, but lamented in death. What a tragedy. Men are so duplicitous, aren't they? In this life. Let us not be that way. Strange, isn't it, how the godly are often appreciated after they are gone. Well, they're left now with Saul, King Saul, who had already relinquished his rule now for a number of years. Now, secondly, we want to meet with this rich fool, because that is precisely the way he is presented here, this man Nabal, in verses 2 to the verse 4. In fact, his name Nabal means fool. As even Abigail says here, he is after his own name. Abigail means, my father is God. Perhaps many people called him Nabal because of his character. The one thing if his parents named him this, well, we don't know if that's what his parents named him. But maybe from an early age, he began to show these evidences of being an extremely shrewd man, but a fool in God's eyes. May it never be said of us that we are fools in God's eyes. Well, the world would say he was no fool. We read of how much he has. Verse 2, and there was a man in Mahom whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now remember, Job had great possessions, but Job was no fool. This man seems to have great possessions, but a fool in God's eyes. Now the name of the man was Nabal. Now that word there really means foolishness, as I have already said, perhaps given by others. This has nothing to do with intelligence or IQ or anything like that. And we read by way of contrast, the name of his wife was Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish. Now for you children, that means impolite, rude, brash, crass. All these things could be said of Nabal. And evil, it says, in all his doings. Unkind. We can see the character being formed before our eyes. We can imagine him. But his wife was of good understanding. And we see the way she responds, knowing that David had the power to take this man's life and all that he had. She was of good understanding. She prepares great provender for David and his 400 men. She knew what her husband was like. A churlish man, tight-fisted, a real fool. Nabal died a fool without God. And he's even judged. We know that this chapter, God takes his life. Well, we see how Abigail, she responds. David here overreacts. But because of her, she is spared. And the people of Nabal are spared, but Nabal is not spared. And one thing we must say at the outset of this is that personal vengeance is always wrong. Remember, we must always leave place for wrath, for God. And David acknowledges this, even in this chapter. That's one of the lessons we're going to learn. God is the ultimate judge in all things, isn't he? Not David. And David admits this. Well, something else, this man Nabal, he comes from a godly line. Notice he is of the tribe, even from Caleb. Caleb was a man of understanding, wasn't he? But not this man. And that reminds us that wisdom does not run and grace does not run in the veins, friends. Doesn't run in the bloodline. It's a great reminder, isn't it? It's from God. It is from God. Now, a fool is somebody that doesn't walk in God's word, doesn't walk in God's ways. And therefore, here, this man Nabal is wrong. His whole attitude to David is wrong. His attitude toward David's men is wrong. This is real foolishness. This is why Psalm 94 verse 8 says, "Ye fools, when will ye be wise?" It has nothing to do with intelligence, but it is a matter of the heart. Friend, do you realize who's keeping you alive this morning? It's a foolish thing to despise God and not give him the honor that is due to his name. It's a foolish thing to live for yourself. And as Christians, we should be, as David, we should be generous. We should be liberal in terms of our giving of our heart. Not liberal in terms of our theology, but in terms of our heart and our service. God honors a liberal giver, a generous man. But you know, the churlish, the fool will stand before Almighty God. Think of that parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the rich farmer. We can think here maybe even of Nabal himself. In Luke 12, we have that account, don't we? There were two men arguing over an inheritance, and a man says, "My brother will not give me my inheritance." That man, he was quite taken up with the fact that he was not getting his inheritance. So the Lord gives him a parable of a rich farmer. That's the backdrop against that parable. And he said, he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God had said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee.'" And that young man should have listened while his brother was not giving him his part of the inheritance. Remember one thing, friends, God sees everything. And God is going to settle matters one day. We may be defrauded. People may cheat us. But at the end of the day, God is going to have the last word. Do we not thank God for that? God is over all. We should not set our affections on things here on this earth, where moth and rust corrupts, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's a foolish thing to hang on to things and stuff. And often, I've seen it, people that have had much have had many things taken from them. But those that have had little, I've seen the Lord put more into their hands and bless them and given them happiness. For the Lord has said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us not be fools. Let us learn from Christ, who is meek and lowly. He who owns heaven and who created the universe, all for love's sake became poor and became man, that we might enjoy his riches in heaven. May God teach us his word today. You know, men live in madness here in this world. Solomon saw it. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9:3, "The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead." That's the nature of man, madness. You know, we think we can cling on to things, hold on to things, but you can't. Nabal couldn't hold on to 10 days of his life, let alone all his possessions. God took it all away. Remember that. Who gives life? Who gives strength for all things? Well, we think of this occasion here. David, as you know, David is the anointed now. He is going to be king. Even Saul in the previous chapter, Saul comes out of that cave. David took and cut off a piece of his skirt of his garment, held it before him, said, "I could have taken your life, but I spared it." Saul has admitted that David is going to be king. Samuel has already said David is the anointed. All the people have already started to sing. Remember how the woman sang that Saul had slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands already. It was well known that David was going to be king. And remember, there were already now marauding squads, great armies of Philistines coming against the people of Israel from all over. But Saul was doing very little for the people of Israel, always looking for his own interests. That's what Saul was about. As long as it could further his cause, as long as it could further him. But David was a man after God's own heart. God had put the people here in this land, brought them out of Egypt centuries ago. But remember, they had not overcome their enemies. In their sin, they imbibed a lot of the religions of the land, and it became covetous, and it became worldly. and therefore imbibe those gods that promised them things and stuff. But God can take it all away. But what was David doing? God was a man fighting men like Goliath and the Philistines, concerned for God's cause and ultimately for the Savior to come into the world. And David here was out protecting. He had heard about Nabal's sheep and the great vast cattle that God had given him. And David, as we know even from the servant, as we read and we'll study in this chapter, David and his 400 men protected Nabal and all that he had. And we would say, would we not, one good turn deserves another. It was only right that Nabal offer some sort of compensation or provide at least some bread and some water and something for David's men who had protected them from the marauding squads of the Philistines. But Nabal, he claims to not know David. That is a flat lie. We even see this of Abigail. We read here how she knows that David is going to be king. But here Nabal pretends, who is David that I should listen to him, that I should do anything? After all, as we read here, are there not many that break off from their masters? Is this not a common thing? Well, he knew David, certainly from the reports of others. And Abigail, we hear it from her, she knew that David was an honest man. Nabal makes out as if David is a dishonest man. He's going to be king. He is not some man asking for protection money, going around racketeering. That's not David. David is a man after God's own heart. And David and his men do all of this. Notice the verse 15, what Nabal's servant says. The foolishness of Nabal is obvious. If you notice here, the Philistines are constantly on the attack, and Saul did very little about it, but David protected and looked after Nabal's workers and livestock. Look at verse 15 and 16. This is what one of the servants of Nabal say, but the men were very good unto us. He's here speaking to Abigail, Nabal's wife, this woman of understanding. But the men were very good unto us and were not hurt. Neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. They were like a wall to us. They protected us. We felt safe. There was this constant fear. We know from the previous chapter how during times of harvest, the Philistines would come in and raid all the barns so that there'd be nothing left and destroy everything. And David has done this with all of his men. For what? No gratitude, no thanks. All they want is some bread, some water. He's not even asking for compensation. The least Nabal could do was provide something for the men to live on. And you think about it, everything that Nabal has is from God, isn't it? He said, why should I give my bread, my water, my things? David sends men across and tells him what to say. The servants. Nabal answers verse 10 and said to David's servants, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There being many servants nowadays that break away from every man from his master. Then shall I take my bread, my water, my flesh? Everything is his. You know, this is how people think of this world. My friend, everything is from God. The food on our tables, the health that we enjoy, whatever we have is God's. I wonder if we stop to think about our things in that way. Everything is God's. This man Nabal, he just lives for himself. He's basically tight-fisted. He's a worldly man. He doesn't want to even help or give thanks in any way to David for what he's done. Despite all David has done, I mean, he wouldn't have any sheep, he wouldn't have nothing. He'd have nothing. And so here it is. Nabal sends David's men backpacking with nothing. He doesn't want to hear about it. Well, that's his response. It's unkind, isn't it? And he claims he doesn't know David. Well, that's not true. You notice in the verse 30 what even Abigail says. I mean, the whole of Israel knew who David was. The woman was singing his praises. The people knew David had slain many. 400 men? Come on. You're going to say you don't know who this man is? Well, verse 30. She says, Abigail says to David later on, and it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. She knew, as well as this man Nabal, but he pretended not to know. And friends, you know, it's the fool that pretends not to know what he does know, and God knows that he knows if there's a need. I wonder if we thought that. And there's nothing in the narrative, by the way, to suggest that David told her this, that he would be king. She knew this, all of Israel knew it. Just look back at the earlier chapters there, we don't have time. But his response, let's think of Nabal's response. He lied, first of all, and lying is always a sin. Who is this man, David? Secondly, it was unwise, because Nabal's men and livelihood needed to be continued to be protected. I mean, if David withdrew his hand of protection now, what if the Philistines came again? That's most unwise, isn't it? And thirdly, it's foolish because David had the power to destroy Nabal. And we see here David rise up with great indignation, ready to kill. And it's only on account of Abigail that Nabal, his life and his all the men are spared. The men of Nabal are spared on account of this woman who is of great understanding. So it was unwise, it was foolish, and David had the power. All Nabal is doing now, after all the kindness that David has shown, is this man is pouring insult, he is pouring scorn upon him, whereas he should have been so thankful for David's faithfulness. Let me say this, he is despising the one who is Christ-like. David was good. And friends, God is good. He's good to all men. He sends the sun and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And whatever you and I have is from God, isn't it? And men do despise God. You know, they say, where is God? I was in the open air. I often refer to this. And those of you who are engaged in open air work, you can identify with this. A woman passed by this week and she said, where is the Lord Jesus? Where is he now? I said, he's in heaven. I said, he's done his work here. He is raised in heaven now. He's in glory. That's where he is. But he's coming again to judge the living and the dead. That's where he is. Well, if he's God, why doesn't he come and do something about the world? Well, where would you like him to begin? With your sin, with your lies, with your life? See, men judge God foolishly, don't they? Rashly. And men despise men like David, who was Christ-like. Yet David serves as a type of Christ in this way. And so this fool clung onto his folly. That's what we can learn about him. He was rich, but not rich toward God. And there are many people like that. Rich, but not rich toward God. Like that fool in that parable, which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke concerning. And then thirdly, now notice the wrath of man is abated by a gracious and wise unnamed servant, first of all. You know, there's a lot of attention given to Abigail, and rightly so. But how does Abigail find out about this? Well, there was a servant, one of the servants of Nabal. He's unnamed. But he is the one that addresses Abigail, Nabal's wife. And it's these little details we sometimes miss that are so important. This unnamed servant, how brave he must have been. Nabal, such a churlish and such a vicious man. But he has a gracious servant here, and he knows just who to approach, Abigail. Verse 12, so David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those things. And David said unto his men, gird ye up every man his sword. And they girded every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. So David is getting ready for war here, to kill Nabal. Now notice verse 14, but one of the young men, and this is Nabal's young men, told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, which is Nabal. And what was his response? And he railed on him. This was what Nabal, our master, how he behaved toward David. He railed on these men. These men protected us, he tells us in the verse 15 and 16. They were like a wall to us when we're in the fields. And this is how our master's treating him. And what Abigail does is, after the servant puts it to Abigail, she quickly gets great provision ready. Look at all the provision, verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 fig cakes, cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. She spared nothing. She brought all that she could and brought this to David to give provision. And then she herself goes, not just goes with a gift, but she goes to try to appease David. Not just with the gifts, and so that he has provision. And David is ready now for war. Now don't be offended at the language. Look at the verse 21. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. Now again, don't be offended at the language. In the Hebrew it's the same. The word there, pisseth against the wall, is the literally the sound that was made when a man did urinate against the wall, and it was a sign of disrespect of Jerusalem. And this is the attitude of Nabal. He's showing disrespect for David, God's anointed king and protector of the people. David says, I'm going to destroy all that, as it were, that pisseth against the wall, that has no respect. Dishonor. You know, the scriptures say, give honor to whom honor is due. Read Romans 13. Now, that does not mean that when the authorities and magistrates ask us to sin against God, we go ahead and do as they say. No. But there are certain things that God has put over us for our good and for the betterment of our lives and for that of others. And this man, Nabal, has no respect at all. He's a self-righteous, self-seeking man. And David was his protector, and yet now he makes him his enemy. And David here, wrongly, and we must admit this, takes matters into his own hands. The Lord has said, has he not, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Now, it's interesting. David, amazingly, you think of how patient he was with Saul. The thing is, he expected, didn't he? He expected Saul to be his enemy. But he did not expect Nabal to be his enemy. And here's a warning for those of us who are Christians. We need to be on our guard for those who we do not expect to be our enemies. You know, there's some things that are easy to deal with. The world, for instance. We expect the world to be our enemy. But what if in the church people rise up against us? How do we respond? Oh, friends, we need great wisdom, don't we? We need to guard our hearts. We need to keep our hearts in check. And again, God will take care of matters. David admits here even to Abigail, were it not of you, I would have taken vengeance upon Nabal. And she would have been destroyed. All the men of Nabal also would have been destroyed. Were it not of Abigail, all friends, we need to learn, don't we, to watch our spirits. How easy it is to be on guard against those who we expect animosity from, we expect trouble from. But what about those who we least expect it from? Think of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, David falls short, doesn't he, when it comes to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas, one who had spent 3 years with him and who even sat down at the Lord's table with him. Yet he was betrayed. You see, God will be the ultimate judge in things, will he not? In the final analysis, and that is what happens here. Abigail, she appeases David, and he admits, indeed, that he would have done a terrible thing had she not have come and appeased him. Paul says in Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome evil of evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what we've got to do. Doesn't mean to say that you'd be taken as a fool as a Christian. You know, we're not fools. But friends, you know, give place to wrath for God. God, let me say, will avenge his enemies and the enemies of his people. God will have the last word. We have to watch our spirit, don't we? Because sometimes when somebody does something wrong to us, we want to do a whole lot worse to them. God is the only fair judge and executor of justice. And we hear what happens. She provides all of these things. David's men are fed. Nabal, he holds a great feast, as we read here, like a king. And he gets so drunk that night, she doesn't tell him. But she tells him in the morning all that she did. And that really his life could have been taken had she not have taken these things to David. David was ready to slay the lot of them. And yet what happens? Nabal, on hearing this, his heart becomes like stone. And then 10 days later, he dies. Says the Lord smote him. That's what happened. Verse 36, and Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him. How typical of this is the world. for he was very drunken. Therefore she told him nothing, less or more. And that was wise. Never speak to a drunk. You can't reason with them. And even now, in the morning, she tries to reason with him and tells him he would have been destroyed and all of his animals and everything that he had and even his own life would be taken. But can you reason with a fool? You can't reason with a fool. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. What does it mean that his heart became like a stone? I don't know, but he simply was just hard to these things. Maybe he was embittered about all that David had received. No thankfulness, no gratitude. And then suddenly his life is taken, not long after, 10 days. My friends, if you try to hold on to this life and your stuff and your things, you'll die without God. And that's how this man Nabal died. But you think of the Lord Jesus, he who was rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake became a man. Jesus Christ, so much fairer than David. David rightly asking here for provision, yet none were shown, and then ready to strike the enemy. But for us, Christ was stricken for his people. The justice that should have fallen on us fell on Christ. The reproaches that belonged to us fell upon our dear Savior, friends. And the Lord one day will make all of the Lord Jesus Christ's enemies his footstool. God is going to settle matters soon. What is life? Friends, we were made to love and to be loved. That is not Nabal. That's not the life of Nabal. The life of the Christian is this, let me say it again. We were made to love and to be loved. We were made to love God and to love each other and not repay evil with evil and to be loved. This world brings upon us many troubles and evils. This world is a world of iniquity in which our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell. They saw that fruit of the tree. Indeed, Eve did. And beholding it, she believed a lie, that that fruit would make her rich, that that fruit would give her happiness, that she could be like God, that she would have no need of God. And that's how we think in terms of our possessions and our stuff. And look where it has got us. Nowhere. But Christ came into this world and became poor. He said, "The birds of the air have nests, and the foxes have holes. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Why did he do this? For us. To redeem us. God is love. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And if we are Christ's, we love one another. And we say it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we don't hold on to the stuff of this world. And we know, friends, we may give a lot, but the Lord will give back. Look at Abraham. That man was never short, was he? I mean, I'm talking about the world's goods. David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous begging bread. It's the fool that holds on to the things of this world and lives for himself. And what he will find in the end is he doesn't have God, but he has God's wrath, just as Nabal. What a wise woman was Abigail. You know, what David did with her was wrong. We know the Bible does not teach polygamy. We know that is wrong. But let me say this, Christ has his bride. It's the entire church. In heaven there will be no marriage, but there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. All that love God and are forever with him. We shall have no need of spouses, but we'll love them perfectly. We'll love God perfectly. We were made to love and to be loved. May we do so in this world. May we show we're different and all for Christ. Amen.